Today's shiur is Masech Yuma Daf Chav Zayin, and we're going to begin on Daf Chav Vav Amabeis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amid. As we learned in the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah told us how many Kohanim were involved in bringing the Karban Tamid, which was a lamb. Now our Mishnah speaks about an ayal. If a ram is brought as a Karban, versus a tamid, which is brought with 9 kohanim, and as we described, 5 kohanim carrying the various cuts of meat, 1 kohen carrying the intestine, the 7th kohen, that's 6, the 7th kohen carrying the flour, the 8th kohen carrying the wine, the 9th kohen carrying the chavitin, tells us the Mishnah, when a lamb is brought, ayal korev be'achad asar. 11 kohanim are used. Habasa b'chamisha, just like the meat of a carbon tamid, we have 5 kohanim carrying the various cuts. Here we have 5 kohanim carrying the various cuts of the ayal. Herkabayim, however, the intestines, vasoilus, the flour, vayayin, and the wine, b'shnaim shnaim, were carried by 2 kohanim apiece. So that's how we end up with 11. 6 plus 5. There is no chavitin by an ayal. Only by carbon tamid do we have the chavitin that the kohen gadol had to bring every day in the morning and the afternoon. So the chavitin don't have to be taken under consideration. And the way the Rishonim explain this Mishnah is as we will learn later in today's shir, there's a pasuk that teaches us that by carbon tamid we should have 6 kohanim. So we're limited to having 6 kohanim because the pasuk teaches us. However, by an ayal, where we don't have the pasuk teaching us that we need 6 kohanim, so we try to actually use more kohanim, b'roiv am hadras melech, the more people involved, it's more of a kavod. Not because necessarily it's any heavier. Although the nesachim of an ayal are larger than the nesachim of karban tamid, that in itself, the Rishonim explained, would not be a reason to need more kahanim, because it's not that much heavier that you need 2 people to carry it. It's more of, because b'roiv am, we want to have more kahanim doing the avodah. Par, an animal, a bull, if that is the animal used as a carbon. So there we have kor be'esrim v'arba. We use 24 kahanim to carry up the various parts. Haroish v'regel, the first 2 parts that are carried up, like by the carbon tamid, are the head and the back right leg. Harosh, the head is carried up by 1 person. The regel is carried by 2. So the Rishonim point out that as the Gemara taught us earlier, that the Rosh, the regel, are always the first 2 pieces that are carried up. The Rosh, however, has a lot of bones. So to compensate the abundance of bones that there are in the head, we carry along the regel. The same thing is by the par. Just by the par, since the regel is so large, instead of 1 kohen carrying the regel, 2 kohanim carry the regel. And the Rishonim furthermore point out that when we say 2 kohanim carry the regel, it's not that we take the regel and divide it in 2 and have 1 kohen carry part of the regel, another kohen carry the other part of the regel, because we're not supposed to separate the pieces more than what the Torah wants us to separate. When it says here that 2 kohanim carry the regel, it means that they carry it together. However, there is a machlokes rishonim about items like the soilus, flour, yayin, wine, where there we said by the ayal and the par we'll learn are carried by more than 2 kohanim. What is the halacha there? Do we again say that it's carried in 1 large container, but instead of just 1 kohen carrying it, more than 1 kohen carries it? Or, since in these items there is no iser to divide them up, maybe it's carried by more than 1 kohen. Machlokes Rishonim, exactly what was done. So again, going back to the par, the first kohen carries the rosh, then we have the 2 kohanim carrying the regel, ha'ukitz for regel, the next 2 things that are carried are the tail and the other back leg, ha'ukitz b'shnayim, the tail is carried by 2 people, v'regel b'shnayim, and the other back leg is carried by 2 people. The next thing that was carried were the chaza, which is the breast, v'geira in the neck. Ha'chaza was carried by echad, by 1 kohen, v'geira is carried b'shloish by 3 people. Shtei Yadayim B'Shnayim, the two forelegs are carried by two people. V'shtei Defanis, and two flanks are carried B'Shnayim. And her kabayim, the intestines, Vasoilus, and the flour, Vayayin, and the wine, are each carried B'Shloish by three people. Taisus makes an observation. We learned in a previous Mishnah what was the order of the limbs that were carried up by the Karban Tamid. Taisus says that the order listed in our Mishnah doesn't correspond with that order. So Taisus says, really the order, even by a par, is the same order as by a carbon tamid. Just out, the point of our Mishnah is not to teach us the sequence of how the limbs are carried up, that we already spent time learning previously. The point of our Mishnah is strictly to teach us that there are more kahanim involved in the carrying of these animals versus the carrying of the carbon tamid. The Rambam seems to learn different than Taisus, and the Rambam says, although there was a specific sequence listed in when carrying the carbon tamid, that is not the same sequence in carrying a par. The Mishnayos are very specific. The sequence for carbon tamid was listed in the Mishnah for carbon tamid, and the sequence for carbon par is listed in our Mishnah. The Medvar Murm, says the Mishnah, when are these halachas applicable? The Kabbalah Sibur. But a carbon Sibur, we have these halacha. Av b'carbon yachid, if an individual donates a carbon, emroitz lahakrif makrif. If one kohen wants to do it all, he has the right. Have shetev v'nituchem, the way the animal is skinned, and the way the animal is cut up, sha'el v'el shavim, makes no difference if a carbon Sibur or carbon yachid. So the way most Rishonim explain the Mishnah, is that although by the Karbanos Tzibur we've learned that there's a very specific manner of pious, of a lottery, to decide who does what, by Karban Yochid, if somebody brings his own Karban, and he chooses, he has a friend or a relative who's a Kayin, and he wants that Kayin to do the entire Avoida, he has a right to ask that Kayin to do the entire Avoida. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. There are two other Pshatim, the Chazon Ish I saw explains, as follows. In a situation by carbon tzibur, we always have to follow a pious. We always have to follow the system of gairolus that we explained. In a carbon yochid, if there are kahanim who are prepared to volunteer to bring the carbon yochid, so then they should do it and no problem. If on the other hand there are no kahanim prepared to do it, then we'll follow a lottery system. The other pshat that I saw was a pshat from the Sefer Shal Sechuvis Yehuda Yala. He explains that what the Mishnah means here with a Yochid is that the Kohen Gadol, as we have learned, has always the prerogative of choosing that he wants to do the Avodah, and then there's no Gairul, there's no lottery, he takes precedence, and that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. That if the Kohen Gadol wants to do the Avodah, he could do it without any lottery. The lottery is only put into place when the Kohen Gadol doesn't use his option of doing the Avodah. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, if Shaitan v'nituchan, skinning the animal, or cutting up the animal, Shavin, everybody agrees that they may be done bizarre. It doesn't have to be done by Kohen, it may be done by Yisrael. Amar Chizkiya, Menayin lehevshit v'nituach, sheshavin bizarre. How do you know that the halacha is that these acts may be done by a zar? Shenemer, because it says in the pasuk, v'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen, eish al mizbeach. Teaches us the pasuk, nesinas eish b'ay kahuna, the putting of the fire is where kahuna is required. However, hefshet v'nituach, loy b'ay kahuna doesn't require kahuna. Asks the Gemara, ha-mibay le legufei, why don't I say that this pasuk, I can't say that the pasuk is coming to teach us that hefshet v'nituach is not require a kohen. This pasuk is teaching us that putting the fire, even though it's not an essential part of bringing the carbon, requires a kohen. So can't come to teach me that a hefshet nituach doesn't require a kohen. Ask the Tosef Rishonim, why can't the pasuk teach us both? The pasuk will teach us that nesinas eish requires kahuna, and hefshet nituach doesn't require kahuna, only nesinas eish. So Tosfos Rishonim says, what the Gemara means to say, if Nesinas Eish requires Kahuna, and Nesinas Eish isn't an act in the carbon itself, it's only on the Mizbeach, Yet the Torah tells us it requires kahuna. Certainly hefshet nituach, which applies to the carbon itself, certainly requires kahuna. So how could you say, says the Gemara, according to Tosafos Yeshanim, that hefshet nituach doesn't require kahuna? If nesinas esh requires kahuna, certainly hefshet nituach, which applies to the animal itself, requires kahuna. And he takes it a step further. He says that's why the Torah chose to speak about esh versus hefshet nituach. Number one, because esh is a bigger chiddush, it's more of a novelty that it requires kahuna, and esh took place after hefshet nituach. Why? Because the Torah is telling us that even esh requires kahuna, and certainly hefshet nituach requires kahuna. So Rav Sima bar Ashi is now trying to still identify how we know that hefshet nituach doesn't require kahuna. Rav Sima bar Ashi, ashkachtei l'rabaya, I found Abaye that have a masbel lebrei. He was teaching his son, and really the psukim we're working with today are the psukim all at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. It says in the pasuk v'shochet. So we know shchita b'zar k'shera. A zar Yisrael may do the shchita. V'chimayim basa. How do you know that? B'chlal shenem, because it says in the pasuk v'at u'benecha itcha tishmeru es kunaschem, that the kahuna should be followed. And the back includes l'chol dvar ha-mizbeach, anything that is involving the mizbeach, anything that's involving the carbon, should have kahuna. So shemei ani afil shchita. So I would think that even shchita requires kahuna. That's why Abaye told his son, Tamaloyim, the pasuk says, v'shachar espen abok lefnei Hashem, v'kriva b'nei Aaron ha-kahanim es-adam. So I learned mikabola ve'elech mitzvah kahuna, only from the krivoy, which refers to be mikabol the dam, receiving the dam. That's where kohanim are required. Before that, not. That's how I know that shechita doesn't have to have a kohen. How do we know that the krivoy means kabbalah? So Rashi and Tosfos have different explanation. Rashi explains because the first avoider done after the shechita is kabbalah. The carbon is slaughtered, and then the blood is received. So if a krivoy is mentioned right after shchita, it must be the kabbalah, which is the first thing that happens after shchita. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says he learns it by process of elimination. He says it can't mean zrika because the Torah speaks about zrika separately. It also can't mean halacha. Why? He says because halacha is not a necessary step. What does halacha mean? That you carry the blood to the mizbeach. Says Tosfos, not by every carbon do you have to have halacha. What will be if you shech the carbon right next to the mizbeach? There won't be any halacha. So the pasuk can't be speaking about something that doesn't necessarily take place. When the Torah says v'krivoy, it must be in something that must take place. What must take place? Kabbalah. Continues the Gemara. V'samach yada v'shachat. Smicha. Leaning on the animal has to take place, and the Torah compares it to shechita. Liman al shechita shekshar bizar. It teaches us that shechita is kshar bizar. Why? Because just like the smicha is done by the owner of the carbon, who's not necessarily a kayin, so too the shechita. So the Siach Yitzchak asks, we just proved a line a moment ago that shechita doesn't have to be done by a kayin, because only from Kabbalah on do we have to have a kayin. So why is the Gemara adding this line, v'samach yada v'shachat, that we compare shechita to smicha? We already proved it. So that's why the Siach Yitzchak says that this line is actually redundant. And in fact, he says, the same Gemara appears in Masechta Zvachim, and this line doesn't appear in Masechta Zvachim. The Gevura Sari has a different pshat. He says like this. He says, the reason the Gemara had to add the line of v'samach yada v'shachat to teach us the shechita's k'sher b'zar is because the pasuk doesn't use the word hikrivay b'nei Aharon. Let's look at the words of the pasuk. Vi, there's a vav. What does the vav do? The vav connects what it says after and before. Vikrivay b'nei Aharon, we're saying, refers to the Kabbalah, and we're saying the Kabbalah has to be done by b'nei Aharon. So I would say that the vav teaches us that the item discussed before, which is shechita, also should be b'nei Aharon. So that can no longer be a source that shechita is k'sher bizar. So I look now for another source. What is the other source? V'samach yada v'shachat, since the Torah compares shechita to smicha, and smicha could be done by a zar, so too shechita. Michti. Ask the Gemara. Mekabala v'eilich mitzvah kahuna. After the Kabbalah, I said it has to be the Koyim. V'nashna b'nei Haran. So ask the Gemara, why does the Torah have to say v'nashna b'nei Haran is eish? Lamali. Obviously, anything taking place after the Kabbalah, we said, has to be done by the Bnei Haran. Says the Mara, Lamuti Hefshin Netuach. That's how I know that Hefshin Netuach may be done by Yisrael. Says the Mara, that's not a definitive proof. Vesati Yitzchak. Salkadat the Chamino, Kivin the Lava avoided the Maka Kapara, since putting the fire on is not a necessary step, I would say, like the Bai Kahuna, Kuhuna is not required, Kamash Malon, the Bai Kahuna. So the point of the pasuk is to teach me that the kahana must do it. And again, we say what the Tosfos Yeshayahu told us earlier. Just like, even though it's not a necessary step for the kapara, kahanim have to do it. Similarly, the hefshet nituach, which is not necessarily for the kapara, but it's affecting the carbon. If anything, it's affecting the carbon more than the fire. Certainly, it should require kahuna. So how do I know that Hefshet Nituach, we don't have to have a Koyin? El Mahacha. I learn it from here. The Pasuk says, V'orchu b'nei Aaron ha-kahanim es-sachim. The kahanim should place as the pieces of the carbon as a roish v'sapada. Michti, again, mikabola v'eilch mitzvah kuna. This takes place, the putting the limbs of the animal on the mizbeach takes place after the Kabbalah. So obviously, if we said that everything taking place after the Kabbalah has to be done by the Kohanim, why does the Torah again have to specify that putting the limbs on the Mizbeach has to be done by the Kohanim? V'or chalomli, why did the Torah have to tell it to us? It must be, l'mute hefshin etuach, that putting the pieces of meat, the limbs, must be done by the Kohanim, but not hefshin etuach. Says the Gemara, fine. V'or chu is coming to teach me that it's coming to say that this must be done by the Kohanim to the exclusion of something else not having to have to be done by the Kohanim. But ask the Gemara, who says that the Pasuk will be used to exclude Hefshet Menituach and to tell us that Hefshet Menituach may be done by Yisrael, Ve'eim Lemutei Sidush Shnei Gzir Eitzim. Maybe what's coming to exclude, that we learned yesterday, that in the afternoon we had to have two people carry up the blocks of wood to the Mizbeach, and what it's teaching us is that those blocks of wood do not have to be carried by Kohanim, they can be carried even by Yisrael. So the Rishonim make a number of points. One, they say, is the Gemara never had a Havamina that the carrying the blocks of wood in the morning may be done by Yisraelim, because the Torah says specifically that that has to be done by Kohanim. We learned the Pesukim yesterday at the end of the Shir. But the Gemara was only speaking about in the afternoon, that who says it has to be done by Kohanim, maybe even Yisraelim. Furthermore, the Rishonim say, the last Gemara we learned yesterday before the Mishnah taught us that the Torah is teaching us that in the afternoon we need to have, whereas in the morning only one Kohen could carry the blocks of wood, in the afternoon we have to have two Kohanim carrying the blocks of wood. Says the Gemara, and the Rishonim explained it this way. Certainly we're not coming to reverse that. We certainly will require two people to carry the afternoon blocks of wood, as we explicitly learned in the Gemara yesterday. Yes, the Gemara's question is, perhaps what the Torah is telling us is, you need two people, but who says that those two people have to be Kohanim? Perhaps they could be Yisraelim. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra difficult to cover semimad. The pasuk that we're using talks about the carbon itself. V'orchu b'nei Haran ha-kainim es ha-nesachim v'asaroish v'sapadar. We're talking about the animal itself. So we want to use this pasuk to exclude something, says the Gemara. It makes more sense to exclude hefshet v'nituach, which applies to the animal itself, versus excluding the blocks of wood, which aren't the animal itself, just the wood. Answers the Gemara, says the Gemara, Adrab, if anything, I could say just the opposite. Sidr, the Kavasei Kamamad. Here we're talking about setting up the pieces of animal. What do we do with the blocks of wood? We put them on the Mizbeach, also set them up. Cutting up and skinning the animal has nothing to do with setting up. So again, where we started, V'orchu is excluding something. But who says it's excluding Hefshet and Nituach? Maybe it's excluding setting up the wood. Says the Gemara, Lo Sakadatach. The Omer Mar, V'ikrav HaKoyin HaSakol Mizbeacha, Zu HaLochis Avorim Lekevis. Strictly bringing the limbs to the Mizbeach has to be done by Koyin. HaLochis Avorim Lekevis Hu Dabai Kahanim. HaLochis Sidr Eitzim Loi Bai Kuhuna. Bringing the wood doesn't require Kuhuna. HaSidr Shnei Gzira Eitzim. But bringing the blocks of wood Bai Kuhuna. So now, V'orchu can't be coming to exclude bringing the blocks of wood, because we just proved that bringing the blocks of wood does require kahuna. So now, what will I do with the word V'orchu? What will I do with that pasuk? L'muti hefshet nituach. So according to the Gemara at this point, and actually this is where Rashi ends the Gemara, how do we know that hefshet nituach may be done by Yisrael, because we have a pasuk v'orchu bnei Aaron akayin as a roish, as in the sochem as a roish v'as a poder, to teaching us that that has to be done by kayin, hefshet nituach can be done by Yisrael. According to Rashi and according to the Gra, that's where the Gemara ends. However, our Gemara continues with a different kasha and a different source how we will know hefshet nituach can be done by Yisrael. Why? Because this Gemara is working on a premise that we need the pasuk of V'orchu for a different need, as we'll soon see. So if we need it for a different limud, we can't use it to exclude, to teach us that Yisraelim may do Heshet Minituach, and that's why the Gemara looks for a different limud. Perhaps I need V'orchu to teach me something else. Ella, the Hikdar Akoinas Akola Mayasa. What, I go back to a pasuk that we quoted earlier. The pasuk says, the Hikdar Akoinas Akol. What do I learn from that pasuk? The Mute Hefshev in the Toyach. The Hikdar Akoinas Akol Mizbeach. I learn, Zuai Lochas Avaram Lekevis. And I Lochas Avaram Lekevis, Hu Dabai Kahuna. The Kohenim have to be the one to carry up the limbs. Eitzim Loibai Kahuna. The Eitzim don't require Kuhuna, the Eitzim that are carried up. See the Shnei Gzirim Eitzim by Kuhuna. V'nosnu, what do I need the word? So based on this, the Gemara is saying, why did I learn it from a Hikriv, not from V'orchu? Because I need V'orchu for something else. What do I need it for? V'nosnu, to teach us Lagufe, that the pieces of meat are put on the Mizbeach. V'orchu is a Lashon Rabbi Mishnayim. B'nei Haran is a Lashon Rabbi Mishnayim. HaKahanim Mishnayim. 2 plus 2 plus 2. L'madnu goes back to what we started the shiur with today. L'tleh, that the carbon tumah, which is bought from a tleh, requires shisha. There's machlokes rishonim. When we say that it requires 6 people, what do we mean? Rashi says that it means that we need 6 people to bring the parts of the carbon to the lower half of the kevis, to the lower half of the ramp. But once it's on the ramp, to be thrown on the Mizbeach, that even one Kohen could do. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim learn that we need 6 Kohanim to actually bring it from the ramp onto the Mizbeach. But what are we saying? That the Pasuk of V'orchu, now we could come full circle, that the Pasuk of V'orchu, we need to teach that 6 Kohanim have to be involved in transporting the limbs to the ramp or to the Mizbeach. So this pasuk no longer serves as a source that Hefshet V'nituach could be done by Yisrael. So how do I know that Hefshet V'nituach could be done by Yisrael? I learn it V'hikter as a Kohen, as a call, that the Torah has to be done by a Kohen, not the Hefshet V'nituach. Amar Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna said, after learning this last piece of the Gemara, Kashle Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar asked the following question. Hi, this pasuk, Beben Abakis Ksiv, is not speaking about a Teleh, it's talking about a large cattle. And we learned in the Mishnah that we began today's shiur with, Uben Abakir, Esrim V'Abomboy. We learned that a cattle, a bull, doesn't only require 6 kahanim, requires 24 kahanim. V'nichle, how did he respond? The pasuk says, since the pasuk ends with these words, Eizadover, regarding which carbon does the Torah say, Eizadover shenem by Eitzim Eishim Mizbeach, which carbon are these words always used with? It's talking about the carbon tamid. That's how I know to apply this pasuk to the carbon tamid and to teach us that by the carbon tamid, 6 kahanim are required nowhere else. Says the Gemara, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan, Zor shesider es merocha, if the zor is the one that sets up the wood on the mizbeach, chayiv is chayiv misa for doing an avoida on the mizbeach that he's not supposed to do, that we spoke earlier in the parak and we'll discuss now more, that under certain circumstances, if a zor does an avoida, he's chayiv misa. There's a machloikis rishonim. When the Gemara says here, zor shesider es merocha chayiv, and then the Gemara says it could be corrected. What does that mean? Doesn't mean that if the Zohar does the Marocha. So even though we're going to learn it could be fixed, Misi is Chai, if he did the Aveira, there's nothing he could go back on. Or, Zohar Shesidus HaMarocha is only Chai of Misa if he doesn't rectify it. But if he rectifies it, he won't be Chai of Misa. And I saw that this has relevance to Laloch Lamaisa. The halacha is, one is not allowed to make a tattoo. K'soivis kaka. What would be the halacha if somebody wasn't religious and he made a tattoo? And now it can be removed. Should he have it removed? Again, I'm not speaking on a theological, philosophical level. I'm speaking on a halachic level. Because will removing the tattoo take away the avera? And therefore he should have it removed. Or is pshat, the avera was done. There's nothing that could undo that Aveira. The question now is that since nothing could be undone, there's no reason to take away the tattoo. Ketzer oisa. So what should be done if the Zohar did the Marocha? Parkoi. He should undo it. V'chayze v'soidrei. And then put it back on. So the Gemara and the Havamina thinks, what it means to say is that the Zohar should undo it and then put it on again. Ask the Gemara, Maya Hanala. What's he accomplishing? We're back to where we started. Says the Gemara, Park Azor. Azor should undo it, for Soidri Kayan, and now the Kayan should do it right. So, a few points. The Ein Yitzchak says, what does it mean, Park Azor? What does it mean, Park Azor, that the Zor should undo it? Doesn't mean that he actually has to take the wood and remove it from the Mizbeach, or he set it up in a certain fashion in the Mizbeach, and as long as he breaks that form or whatever, that mold that he did, even though he didn't physically take the wood off the Mizbeach, that will be considered Perika. The Ein Yitzchak says, as long as he breaks it, even though he doesn't physically remove it from the Mizbeach, that's adequate. Others say Parkoi means Parkoi. He has to physically remove it. Now there's another Shaila. The Migdash David discusses the Shaila. He says that how could a Zohar go to the Mizbeach? Zohar's not supposed to do any avoid in the Mizbeach. And he was saying that the Zohar should be the one to take it apart. So he explains, when is there an Isser for a Zohar to go to the Mizbeach? The Isser for a Zohar to go to Mizbeach is only which is something, for something which is called an avoider. And the Torah says that an avoider has to be done by Kayin. Certain times if the Zohar does the avoider, he's Chayiv Misa. Certain times if the Zohar does the avoider, he's not Chayiv Misa. But the avoida has to be done by a kohen. Perika is not an avoida. Perika is not an avoida. There is no such avoida called perika. If you did something wrong, perika means just undoing what was done wrong. Since there is no such an avoida, there is no isser for a zar to do it.
So a zar can just take a stroll in the base of Mikdash?
For a purpose, for a tachlis. He actually makes that point. A Zohar going to the Mizbeach is not like a Tomei going to the Beis HaMikdash. A Tomei going to the Beis HaMikdash is an Isser. A Zohar is not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash for no purpose. But if there's a purpose, and it's not an Avoider, he's allowed to do it. That's the way he explains it. The Sfas Emes makes the following point. He says that what does Al Gemara say here? That if a Zohar put the wood on the Mizbeach,
he should undo it, and the Kohen should do it right. So our Gemara is saying that essentially, a Zor can rectify a mistake. Says the Sfas Emes, that isn't the case in all situations. He says, for example, the halacha is that kmitza, how is a carbon mincha brought? We bring the flour, the Kohen takes a fistful, burns on the Mizbeach, and the rest is eaten by the Kohanim, the Shirayim. What would be the halacha, says the Sfas Emes, that if instead of a Kohen doing the kmitza, a Yisrael did the kmitza? Would the halacha be that he took the fistful, and now we realize that he shouldn't have, tell him just put back the fistful of flour, and not a Kohen should do the avoida? He says, certainly not. He says, setting up the marocha is not a very significant avoida. Therefore, the halacha is, it could be undone. But kmitza, which is a significant avoida, once a Yisrael does it, it can no longer be rectified. And that carbon is possible, and there's no rectification, there's no correcting that carbon.
Could the Kohen take it apart, or must be a Zohar?
No, so the Gemara is saying the Kohen could, where? The Gemara says the Zohar, oh, it's a good child. Does it have to be a Zohar, or Zohar could be a Kohen? Most Achroyim say it could be a Kohen also. The Gemara's Chiddush is that it could also be a Zohar. We would think maybe a Zohar, like the Mikdash Tavit said, should not be allowed to do it. So the Gemara says that a Zohar may do it, but certainly a Kohen may do it. Maskular of Zera. Is there such a thing, an avoida, which may be done belayla, upsul bazar, see the marocha, may be done at night. So since it may be done at night, why is it possible bazar? Says the Gemara, v'loy, I'll prove to you that there are avoidas that are done by night, and a zar is not allowed to do it. Her evarim bedarim, burning the evarim and the bedarim is done at night, and yet we learned early in the parak that a Zohar may not do it. Answers the Gemara, that's not a proof. Because burning the Evarim Bedorim is not considered a nighttime avoida. It's considered Soif Avoid the Yomama. It's really considered a daytime avoida that may be done at night. And as the way we explained it when we learned the Gemara the first time. Really, the Evarim Bedorim of the Kabbanis brought during a specific day should be burnt that day. The Torah says that since we know that it can't all get done, it can't be all accomplished, so that's what the Torah says, you could bring it at night. But it's not that the Torah said that it should be done at night. It could be finished at night if you can't do it by day. But it's really considered a daytime avoida. Ask the Gemara, I'll bring you another proof that a nighttime avoida could be, is not allowed to be done by a Zohar. Ve'etshumas Hadeshen, which is done, as we learned at the beginning of this parak, either Alois Shachar, or Yom Kippur, we learned it's done by Chatzos. On the Yom Tov, we learned it's done after the Mishmer Rishoyna. It's done at night, and still it's also to be done by a Zohar. Says the Gemara, that's not a question. Because really, Tchilas Avoid the Yomamihi. It's really considered the beginning of a daytime Avoida. Domer of Asi, Omer of Yoichran, we learned this at the beginning of this parak. Kidesh, Yod of Latrumas Hadeshin. If somebody, before doing Trumas Hadeshin, is Mekadesh Yadayim Reglayim, Lemoch Ein Tzorich Lekadesh. When he starts doing the avoda the next day, he doesn't have to do kiddush adayim reglayim again. Why? Shekva kiddush mitchilas avoda. Since he already did it from kiddush, since he already did by trumas adeshin. So we see that trumas adeshin is considered the beginning of the day, and it's not a nighttime avoda. So the Gemara's kasha comes back. How could you say that a zohar is not allowed to do marocha? Marocha is a nighttime avoda. And where do we find that a zohar is allowed to do, is not allowed to do, or is chayiv misa, if he does, a nighttime avoida? Trumas Hadeshin and Avarim Bedarim are not a proof, because they're considered daytime avoidas. Ask the Tosfos Shishonim. The Gemara is saying here, that Trumas Hadeshin is not allowed to be done by a Zohar. But when we learned this sugya at the beginning of this parak, we saw it was a machloikis Rav and Levi. Levi said that a Zohar is not allowed to do Trumas Hadeshin. Rav said that a Zohar is allowed to do Trumas Hadeshin. So what's the kasha? Maybe we're going according to Rav, and a Zohar is not Chayiv Misa for Trumas Hadeshin. It doesn't mean he's allowed to do it. There's no Chayiv Misa. So he says two terutzim. One terutz is that the Gemara's kasha is going according to Levi. Another terutz is he's saying like this. When Rav said that there is no Chayiv Misa for Zohar doing Trumas Hadeshin, it wasn't because he held that it's a nighttime avoido. There's something wrong with the avoido. Rav said that there's a special limit in the pasuk that has to be an avoidus matana, an avoid of application, not an avoidus siluk, not an avoid where something is removed. And Tumas Hadeshin involves removal. But in concept, Rav agrees that Tumas Hadeshin conceptually is an avoider that the Zohar is chayiv, even though it's a nighttime avoider. So the Gemara, it's not a nighttime avoider, it's a daytime avoider. Velakasha. Says the Gemara, Yitma hach Yitma. Says the Gemara, you're right. Omer of Asi, Omer of Yoichanan. Marocha a Zohar would not be chayiv misa. What did Rav Yoichanan say the Zohar is chayiv misa? Zor shesida k'shnei gzira eitzim. We're talking about putting on the logs of wood, the blocks of wood. That the zor would be chayiv misa. Hoyav avoydus yoyim hi. It's an avoydus yoyim. Mask lo rovo, if you're saying the sida k'shnei gzira eitzim, is an avoydus yoyim. And there's a chayiv misa, elam ata tabayi pious. So if it's such a significant avoyder, it should require a goyro. So the Gemara, the mitzvah hadatanya. He actually forgot what we learned at the beginning of the parak. That we learned at the beginning of the parak, mi shezoch b'trumas hadeshen, the kohen who got the privilege of doing trumas hadeshen, zoch b'sida marocha, u'b'sida shnei gzireitzim. So there was a pious. So before we go further in the Gemara, I saw something very interesting based on what we just learned. The Gemara just said that the kohen who got the right to do the pious, the trumas hadeshen. Like we learned at the beginning of the parak, since we were concerned that Kohanim may not be interested in getting up for that goyro, since it's a nighttime avoider, and the chances of winning the lottery aren't great. So we threw in also that I'll get see the marocha and see the shnei gzira eitzim. There's a halacha by Slichas that the chazan, the Baal Tefillah for Slichas, should also daven the rest of the Tefillah. Shadam Chakras and Mincha that day. Why? So Pasha Pshat is, Hamaschel b'mitzvah, somebody who begins the mitzvah, Omrim loy gemar. Says the Magen Avraham, that not only should he daven Chakras and Mincha after davening the Slichas, but he should also daven Meir of the night before. Ask the Binyan Shloima, what's the reason we just said that he davens Mincha, Shachris, because a maschel b'mitzvah armel and gemar. But by Meir before, he wasn't yet a maschel b'mitzvah. So why do we give him Meir? So therefore, the Binyan Shlomo has a whole different explanation to that minig. He says the minig is based on our Gemara. He says, given that Tzlichas was an extra tefillah, how do we're giving a person a reward, just like we learned in our Gemara, that we wanted to encourage people to come to the goyrel of Trumas Hadeshin. So how do we encourage them? By telling them if you'll do Trumas Hadeshin, you'll also do Sida Marocha. You'll also do Sida Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. Similarly, we tell them that if you'll say Slichas, we're going to give you Mairiv, Shachris, and Mincha. So it's nothing to do with Masch Mitzvah Marmil Gemar. It's sort of a prize. Therefore, he says a few things La'aloch L'maisa. It only applies if the person davens Slichas every day. If he davens Slichas every day, so therefore we want him to encourage him, so we tell him you're going to daven all the other tefillahs. But like by us, the minhag of most shuls is we don't have one bat tefillah for Slichas throughout the entire Slichas season. Every day somebody else davens, then he's not entitled to that prize. Furthermore, he says, according to this, what will be the halacha if in the shul there is a chiv, he doesn't want to daven Slichas, or he can't daven Slichas, or in some places the minig is that a oval doesn't daven Slichas, the other tefillahs will let him daven. Because it's not a concept that he has to finish. We're giving him this reward, and he could say the chiv should get it. Moreover, he says, that the entire minig that the Baal Tefillah said the other tefillahs, got the other tefillahs, was in ancient times where the Baal Tefillah said the entire davening, the entire Slichas. It wasn't like us that we have Siddurim and people are more familiar with Tefillah. So the Baal Tefillah who said Slichas had a tough job. He had to say the whole Slichas and everybody else just listened. So we give him a reward that he gets the other Tefillahs. Nowadays, however, the Baal Tefillah doesn't say everything. He just finishes off his piece. The Tzibur says the entire Slichas. So he doesn't deserve such a great reward, and therefore this whole din doesn't apply nowadays. Ask the Gemara. The Memra, Davoidus Yom Bayis Pais. So now we're saying that only a daytime avoider, given that it's significant, requires a pious, requires a girl. Avoidus Laila, Loi Bayis Pais. Ask the Gemara, Vayavarim Bedarim, which is a nighttime avoider, and we still have a pious. Answers the Gemara, Soif Avoider Yomamihi. Like we said before, Avarim Bedarim is not really considered a nighttime avoider, it's considered the end of the daytime avoider. Ask the Gemara, Vavavat Trumas Hadeshin. We have a pious of Trumas Hadeshin, if it's a nighttime avoider. Answers the Gemara, Mishamaisa Shahaya. The Gemara is saying, you're right. Really, Trumas Hadeshin is a nighttime avoider and should not require a pious. But we learned at the beginning of the parak that Kahanim were racing for the Trumas Hadeshin and they hurt each other, and that's why we established a pious. Ask the Taisus Hishanim, why didn't the Gemara say the teretz that we said before? That Trumas Hadeshin is a daytime avoider. The Gemara before said that Trumas Hadeshin is Tchilas Avoid the Yamami, it's the beginning of the daytime. Why does the Gemara give a different teretz? So Taisus Hishanim says two answers. One answer, he says, yeah, the Gemara could have said that answer. The Gemara chose a different answer. But then he says a beautiful different teretz. He says like this. Before we were comparing Trumas Hadeshin to Maracha. So he says, if you compare Trumas Hadeshin to Maracha, Trumas Hadeshin is a daytime avoider. Because Maracha at times is done at night. If the Mizbeach doesn't have enough wood, they put wood on the Mizbeach at night. Trumas Hadeshin is done later. Here we're not comparing Trumas Hadeshin to Maracha. We're talking about Trumas Hadeshin independently. And therefore the Gemara says, given that we know that at the beginning of the parak taught, we learned that Trumas Hadeshin is done at the latest by Elois HaShachar, and sometimes even earlier, so it should be considered a nighttime avoider. So why is there a pious? Answers the Gemara, you're right. It may be considered a nighttime avoider, yet it had a pious because the Maisa Shahaya. Says the Gemara, Lememra, so what we're saying is, something that's done by day, and where Zoros Chayiv Misa, that's the avoider that requires pious. Ain't Zor Chayiv Misa, but if it's not such a Choshev avoider, that a Zor would not be Chayiv Misa if Yichas V'Shom did it, Lo by pious, ask the Gemara by Shechita. Shechita, we just learned on Amun Aleph, is Ksher B'Zor. Yet we learned in the Mishnah, that according to Rashi, the second pious, the first winner, got Shechita. Says the Gemara, Shani Shechita, T'tchilas Avoidehi. Even though Shechit is K'sher B'Zor, and even though now we're saying that any avoider that's K'sher B'Zor shouldn't require pious, but since Shechit is the first avoider, that's why it requires a pious. And Tosfos says, that's the same reason why Dishin HaMizbeach and Dishin HaMenorah requires a pious. Even though the halacha is that if a Zor did Dishin HaMizbeach or Dishin HaMenorah, he would not be Chayiv Misa. But since Dishra Mizbeach HaPnimi is the first avoider with Mizbeach HaPnimi, and Dishra HaMenorah is the first avoider with the Menorah, which ultimately leads up to the Hadlokas HaMenorah, so they're very significant, and even though there's no Chiyiv Misa, the Zor is Chayiv, there's a pious for it. Then Tosfos asks, what about Halos Eitzim, Halos Avar B'dorim? We learned that there's a Chiv mi, that is a pious for halos avarim bedarim. Yet halos avarim bedarim, we haven't proven there's a chiv misa if the Tzar does. So why is there a pious? So Taisus has a very interesting teretz, and that teretz will now work even for Dishim Mizbeach and Dishim HaMenorah. He says like this: to go specifically and establish a pious for a voida that a Tzar is not chiv misa, I can't. We don't establish a pious. But once we have a pious for avoiders that are only kosher by day, and a Zoros Chayiv Misa, we can expand that pious to include elements that don't have that characteristic. So therefore, Tosfos says, that laws of Avarim Bedarim weren't a specific, independent, separate pious. They were part of the pious of the rest of the avoiders of the Karban Tamid, which are kosher only by day. And which are Zoros Chayiv Misa for? Therefore, we could have expanded it to include other avoiders that don't have those characteristics.